high school hockey fans, and welcome back to another weekly edition of This Week in Wisconsin Prep Hockey. I'm Mike Hammett. Along with us, both the Bills are here tonight. Dell's here, and also Mr. Terzinski is here. Everybody's been out and been pretty busy with stuff, and Dell found time to go catch two games in one building. Dell, tell us about the USM and Onalaska games, boys and girls.
Thanks, MJ. I traveled to Onalaska Friday evening for a doubleheader as the girls' varsity started playing at 5 p.m., playing Onalaska, and it was the USM girls falling behind early as Onalaska scored early in the first period when Kaylee Manglitz put the puck in the net and Taylor Monroe and Chaslyn Anderson assisted on the play. That kept the score at 1-0 at the end of the first period. Onalaska was able to push it to a 2-0 lead early into the second, but USM came back with just under 3 minutes left in the second period to make it a 2-1 game at the end of two periods. Then going into the third, the Wildcats came back, tied the game up less than a minute and a half into the game, and it stayed tight going into the second half of the third period when Nicole Unsworth's penalty completed as she came, and as she came out of the penalty box, Onalaska turned the puck over to neutral ice. Unsworth skated in, took a shot, and gave the Wildcats a 3-2 lead, which they made hold up and picked up a win in Onalaska to finish out the regular season. And it was one of those games that you could just had the playoff atmosphere going for it, and it was a tight game throughout. Well, that game was followed up by USM taking on Onalaska Hilltopper boys team, and Nick Epperson, USM's leading scorer, would not play that evening as he was out sick. And they started their second goalie in the game, and Onalaska took advantage of it with a one goal for just under 5 minutes into the first period on a power play. But USM came back and was able to tie it up late in the first period, making the first period finish at a 1-1 tie. Onalaska scored halfway through the second period, and Coach Woods swapped his goalies out and put Max Schmidt into net because he didn't want him to have a 2-week delay going into the playoffs. But at the end of two, Onalaska led 2-1. But the third period belonged to Onalaska on the scoreboard as they were able to put in two more goals to win this game 4-1, with the last goal being an empty netter. Both teams had 24 shots on goal, but it was the Hilltoppers coming out on top in the final game of the season for both the Hilltoppers and the Wildcats. And so the school split on the weekend, but the teams actually, the higher-ranked teams for the girls, USM Wildcats, came out with a victory, and the boys, the Onalaska Hilltoppers, came out with the win. And with that, I'll toss it back to MJ.
Okay, thanks a lot, Dell. And it sounded like got a good couple good games to watch. Some really talented players from both sides, and sound like it was a good Friday night to watch some good high school hockey. Let's move on to our games of the week, girls and boys. We're going to start with the girls. The Metro Lynx took on the Central Wisconsin Storm, and Trasher, you were there to witness it. Michael?
Gracias, my friend. I was indeed at Chili Marathon Park to watch the Central Wisconsin Storm take on the visiting Metro Lynx, led by dapper coach Derek Ward, who was sporting his blue dress shirt with a plaid bow tie. Looked very dapper indeed. It was also a senior night for the Storm. They honored the four seniors that they have. So it was a kind of a sentimental, emotional evening for those players and their fans and friends. And the Storm started it out right. They scored a goal. Caitlin Rampton scored in the first period to give the Storm a 1-0 lead. And then in the second period, Elizabeth Bauer and Amelia Edmondson both scored 6 minutes apart in the middle of the period to give them a 3-0 lead, which would they would take to the locker room for the second intermission. And it looked like they were going to run away with it, but the Lynx had other ideas. Just under 3 minutes into the third period, Lizzie Coney-Bear scored a power play goal on a delayed penalty. There was actually somebody in the box already, and this kind of confused me. Bergler can maybe catch up with it here after I'm done with this commentary. And 14 seconds later, Anna Schilt scored a power play to make it 3-2, and that was with 14 minutes left in the game. Looks like the Lynx was going to get a little bit of a momentum swing here. But then 20 seconds after that, Caitlin Schilling scored an even strength goal to put Storm ahead 4-2. Emily Bauer added a goal with 6 minutes left for the final 5-2. Shots were 29-18 in favor of the Storm. Chloe Westberg had 16 saves in the win, and Sydney McCursey with 24 saves in the loss. So it was a good game. I think the Lynx just ran out of gas a little bit in the third period. Otherwise, they look like a pretty good team. It's the first time I had seen them play this year. They're honorable mention team. They have some really good players. Coney Bear is a good player, Anna Schilt. And I think the young McCursey is going to be a pretty decent goalie by the time she's done. The Storm improves their record to 18-4-1. The Lynx dropped to 13-6-4. And did I mention it was chilly that night? I think it was -5 or so by the time I hopped in my vehicle and went home. And with that, I'm going to pass it over to Bergler, and he was probably standing in the same spot only 3 days earlier for the boys' game of the week. Bergler?
Thanks, Trasher. And when I was there at Marathon Park on Tuesday night for the boys' game of the week, it was actually warm inside the rink. The Tuesday was the day the temperature dropped, and it was actually cold outside. But it was unusually toasty in the rink. And it was also senior night there. But for some reason, in the boys' game, senior night doesn't have the emotional lift that it does in the girls' game. I don't know, that just they don't – the emotions were somewhat missing from this. Let's just leave it at that. But it was a very good game, very fast-paced game up and down the ice. My cameraman said it was probably the best game he has seen this year, and he's accompanied me to several games, including the Badgerland Conference Championship game last week.
He's just along for the meal after the game.
Actually, we went before the game, 7:15 game.
He's along for the meal before the game then.
Yes.
If it's on your dime, I'll go.
Anyway, West scored early, just 2.5 minutes into the first period. A deflection by Christian Barterson off a shot from the point by Nate Newman. Then there's a lot of back and forth. Antigo had two real good chances on things that I haven't seen in a while, where twice in the first period they got one of their forwards got a pass, collected a pass behind the West defenseman and went in on the West goalie, Paul Wisey, all alone. And you don't usually get behind the West defenseman, but they did twice in that first period. The first time Alex Nagel did it, made a move to his backhand, lost control of the puck, so he never got a shot off. The second time was Adam Schmidt. He came down and took a shot and was about 1.5 feet wide of the net. But then West came back and scored in the West and Antigo traded goals late in that period, and West was kind of hanging on to a 2-1 lead until bad line change or bad dumping, whatever the Late in the period, the Antigo defenseman thought that the forwards were going to dump it into the zone, and they went for a line change, and whoever had the puck in the neutral zone lost it. And all of a sudden, West came down on a three-on-one, and a little tic-tac-toe passing from Hunter Rickliffs and Sam and Nick Teckel scored with 0.7 seconds left on the clock in the first period, which is kind of deflating heading into the locker room. You know, that's 2-1. It's not bad. It's manageable. And then, you know, with less than a second left, it turns into 3-1. Second period was good, even back and forth. Only scoring in the second period was actually a shorthanded goal where Christian Bartison was behind the net, battling with one of the Antigua defensemen. Came away with the puck and passed it out front, and for whatever reason, Nick Teckel was standing in front of the net all by his lonesome with nary a defender in sight. I think goalies at this point are trained when a pass comes out like that, you know, it's a bang-bang play, so Antigo goalie Ben Bartletti, as soon as that pass came out, he dropped down into a butterfly to protect, and Teckel had enough time that he just kind of waited. Bartletti went down, then he shot high. Made it 4-1. Each team would score one goal in the third period. And Antigo had another chance that they didn't cash in on. A rebound in front of the net. Player came across. Tipped the rebound to the side. Was going to go to bag it in, but tipped it a little too hard. Couldn't get a stick on it again. So Antigo had chances. Missed three of them. West had chances. Capitalize on just about every one of them. So it's a good game, good learning experience for the Robins. They hadn't played anybody of this caliber on the season. It was very nice of West to give them a little preview, you know, what the playoffs are going to be like. Not that Antigo's going to play well. I mean, Stevens Point is still in between a rematch between Antigo and Wausau West, so that's definitely not a given. But a good game, back-and-forth game, very fast-paced, very exciting game, and West came out on top 5-2. So now I think I'll let MJ tell us about our Radisson-Madison Players of the Week.
Our Radisson-Madison Players of the Week. Madison's premier West Side Hotel, the Radisson-Madison. Our girls' side, we got Caitlin Johnson from Black River Falls, a forward. On Monday, she had one goal, one assist, and a 3-2 loss to the Badger Thunder. Tuesday, big night. Four goals, one assist, and an 8-6 win over the Western Wisconsin Co-op. And Thursday, two goals, two assists, and a 7-3 win over Viroqua. So on the girls' side, Caitlin Johnson, a forward from Black River Falls, is our girls' player of the week. On the boys' side, it's another forward. It's Grant Reichenbacher from Madison Edgewood. On Tuesday, big night against Oregon. Five goals, two assists, had a hand in all seven goals in that win over the Panthers. And on Saturday, two goals, one assist, and a 4-2 win over Wausau West in a big matchup. So Grant Reichenbacher, a forward from Madison West, from Madison Edgewood, is our boys player of the week from the Madison's premier West Side Hotel. Also nominated on the boys side was Chase Blackman, a defenseman from Hudson. All right, we got our players of the week. Now let's tell you about our top 10 teams and more. Bill Jr., go ahead and unwrap the top 10 for the week.
All righty, MJ. New week, new number one team on the boys' side. This week it's Eau Claire Memorial's turn at the dial. Number two is Appleton United, and number three is Wausau West. Despite their 5-2 win over Antigo, apparently voters were not impressed with their 4-2 loss to Madison Edgewood. Hudson is fourth, Nina Horton-Ville-Menasha is fifth, Middleton is sixth, Antigo is seventh, Stevens Point is eighth, Waukesha is ninth, and Onalaska is tenth. Honorable mention for the boys are Bayport, Madison Edgewood, New Richmond, University School, and Wanakee. For the girls, the Central Wisconsin Storm are still number one. Hayward Spooner moves up to two, and University School drops down to three. St. Croix Valley is still fourth. Hudson is still fifth. Bay Area and Fond du Lac are sixth and seventh. Eau Claire Altoona is eighth. Fox Cities is ninth. Northland Pines is tenth. And the Lakeshore and Lakeshore Lightning and Metrolinx make up your honorable mention.
All right, guys, take a look at it. Anything you see there or want to comment on?
You know, every week I look at the girls, especially on the girls' side, not a lot has changed the last several weeks. And this week, for no apparent reason, Hayward Spooner, or the Hayward Co-op, leapt past University School into the two spot. University School had held on to that spot pretty solidly for the last several weeks. And the only thing that I can think of that would have changed it was the fact that this week Hudson laid a beating on both Eau Claire Altoona and Bay Area. And I believe Hudson was the most recent team to beat the University School.
Guilt by association?
Yeah, I mean Hudson. They avenged their loss to Eau Claire Altoona with a 7-0 or 7-1 win this past week, and then they came back and beat Fond du Lac 8-0, and that's a Fond du Lac team that actually beat Central Wisconsin earlier in the season, tied University School earlier in the season. You know, played Bay Area two good games this season. So Hudson, I don't know what got into them this last week, but. They played like a bat out of hell.
We've corresponded with their coach, and that this was his plan all along to throw all the obstacles up there at the beginning of the season, and then get his team rolling and peaking about this time.
Yep, and I talked to him after their game with Eau Claire Altoona, and he said before the game he didn't even talk to the girls. He pulled up their game video and threw it on the TV of their first matchup with Eau Claire Altoona, where they lost that game. They actually lost, I think it was 6-4. And he let the video speak for itself. They watched the play in that game, and then they went out and played. And, apparently it worked.
Sounds like he got his point across.
Looks like it.
Then on the boys' side, guys, I don't know if I'd want to be the number one team anymore. It seems like they just keep getting knocked off.
Well, I saw Eau Claire Memorial, until they get to state, I think they got a pretty good hold on number one for the next 2 weeks because the rest of their section, I don't think there's anybody there going to beat them.
They did just have a tie this week, didn't they not?
Not with somebody from their section, I don't
know. No, they tied Menominee, who is up in Section 1, back on Tuesday, 4-4. Then they came back and beat Rice Lake 6-1 and Eau Claire North 5-2. And those games were without Ty Emberson, who is now in Norway.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Because we'll probably rehash these top tens one more time, I believe, before state tournament, correct?
Yeah.
So,
we probably do it about two
more times.
Yeah, we do it each week, but, you know, it's fairly traditional in our top tens that if the number one team doesn't lose, they stay number one until they do. So,
right.
You know, Eau Claire, someone in that section is going to have to beat them, and I don't think anybody had that picked when we went through our picks last week.
No, I don't think so.
My comment is probably more appropriate for the regular season then. I don't know how many times the number one took a loss, but there must have been, three or four of them?
Yep, and they never stay number one after that. They always drop back out until someone else loses, then they might find themselves number one again. But looking back through the last several years, it's not common that the number one team loses and retains the ranking. Even though West... You know, they lost to an honorable mention Edgewood team, and they doubled them up on shots. They still took a loss, so they still fell out of that top spot.
And I'd be interested to see over the past several years, and I'm sure you have this information stashed away somewhere down in Kansas, but how many teams have kept the number one spot for several weeks in a row? I mean, you know, I think about the last time I can remember that is maybe – the 2008 Eau Claire Memorial team that won unbeaten, they probably got to the top spot and hung on for the rest of the year.
Notre Dame Academy held the top spot for about 2 years in a row. And Wausau West had the top spot most of the entire season before that Notre Dame run. So there was that bit. Those couple dominant seasons we had there a few years back.
Yeah.
Now, what was it, like last year or the year before that – it seemed for about 7-8 weeks straight, we rotated out that number one team.
Yeah, it was last year.
So somewhere, Pete Rozelle is smiling because parity has hit WIAA hockey.
Well, it did last year. That was kind of our running thing all year long. But we do have playoffs coming up. And we're going to get to as many games as we can. But obviously there are way too many games. So we want everybody that uses Twitter to do updates from your games to include a hashtag that we can monitor so we can try to keep our nightly scoreboard updated with games in progress. Now, we've been using the hashtag WIAA Hockey as our social media guru, Bill. Is that what you would like?
Yes.
People to use?
We've been using that one for about 6 years.
Twitter was invented.
Pretty much. I can tell you I also monitor the EC Scores hashtag, which the reporters in the Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls area use when they're tweeting out scores. They use EC Scores, so I monitor that one as well. And if I see any other ones crop up, I'll try to grab them if I can. But WIAA Hockey has been used by lots of people besides us. So
right, hopefully. There was the Madison newspapers were using it, and there were others. Yes. Yeah. So if you're at a game and you're tweeting updates from the game, please include the hashtag WIAA Hockey, all as one word, of course. And that way we can keep our scoreboard updated. So if you're checking your phone, you can see how everybody else is doing at the time. We'll try to keep as many scores updated as we can throughout the night.
And if you are a broadcaster or you know your local station is going to be carrying games, let us know. Obviously, we know that WACD in Anago is going to have Anago, and WRJO in Eagle River is going to have the Northland Pines games, and WPCN is probably going to have the Stevens Point and Pacelli games, but there's a lot of broadcasters out there, and some of them are better at returning emails than others, as I have learned over the last several years. So if you know your stations can be broadcast in the game and they stream online, let us know. I'll try to track them down, but every night I will try to put a link to every game that's streaming on the front of our site so that, you know, if you're not able to get to the game, you can listen to it. If you've moved out of state or you just can't go that night for whatever reason, you can listen to it or, in a couple cases, watch it. But I don't have an encyclopedic knowledge of every radio station in the state, and even when I do, they don't always return my email. So if you know a game's going to be broadcast, let us know the station and their website.
Isn't technology wonderful with Twitter?
It helps. Certainly.
So, guys, anybody have any games that they're hoping to make it to this week?
I am planning on tomorrow night being in Stoughton to watch Beloit and Stoughton.
Tomorrow night I actually am planning to be in Poppy Waterman over in Lake Delton and seeing Sauk Prairie versus RWD.
Thursday I will be home in Janesville, who they play. They play the winner of KMMO. And I believe it was Monroe. And then Friday, going to be on the road, probably looking like Wanakee on Friday night against Madison Memorial.
Yeah, I don't think I can get to a game tomorrow night. Thursday I will be, that's an easy one for me, at home. Winner of the Lakeland and Tomahawk game will be taking on the Red Robins. I will try to get to Green Heck, just because I like going to Green Heck. On Friday, I believe it is the winner of the Wausau East versus Mosinee game playing against DC Everest on Friday.
By the way, to all our listeners here on the podcast, congratulations to Bill and his wife on 35 years of marriage.
Thanks.
Just had to throw that in there.
Yeah, I made her scrub floors. Well, I went and played hockey.
It's all about priorities.
You betcha.
Well, Thursday evening, I actually hope to catch the girls' game down at Sun Prairie. And then Friday, right now the plan is to try to pick up another doubleheader at USM as both the boys and girls picked up number one seeds and are having and have their home games on Friday evening.
Dell, it sounds like you're trying to beat my WIPH record of 60 games set from a couple years ago. Looks like you're getting pretty close to it.
Oh, I don't think I'm close to that at all.
I don't know what my plan is going to be for tomorrow for sure. Thursday, I'll just try to find a game that's nearby. Might be Rapids, might be Point. Who knows? We'll be around somewhere, I'm sure.
Well, you know, a lot of times when you get in this part of the playoffs, the first round, you don't expect a whole lot of big upsets. You know, probably you won't see many upsets at all tomorrow. Thursday, maybe one or two. Next Tuesday is when things start getting a little shifty.
You don't think Amory's going to beat Superior tomorrow?
No. And I feel very safe with that. Let the hate mail come. The only reason why I haven't had a chance to see either team. I haven't had a chance to see either team, but you know what? I'm just going to go on Superior tradition on that one.
And why is that? Because we are?
Superior.
There you go.
But as Bill, you mentioned, and Bill Jr. mentioned, Superior may be the best 3-win team in the state. When you think about it, what team in that Section 1 really wants to play a Superior if they start getting rolling in the playoffs? I mean, they just carry that tradition. In the playoffs, they expect to win. It's just that simple.
And right now, they are Hudson's white whale. So Hudson has to want to play Superior. They have to. They can't hope that Superior gets knocked off by Somerset or New Richmond. Hudson has to want to play Superior, I think, just for their own sakes. After 2 years as the number one seed and getting knocked off by Superior, they have to want that game.
I would think so. By the way, I want to send out a congratulations to the Eastside Lakers. They were 0-20, 0-21 on the season, and they got themselves a win the other night. In a game that was suspended. They were playing Monroe. That was the game where the Zamboni started steaming up and died on the ice, but they resumed it after the first period, and the Eastside Lakers got a 4-3 win. So I believe, and guys, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that every team in the state won at least one game this year. But you can correct me if I'm wrong. And don't sound like any of you are in any hurry.
Well, I know that might be on the boys' side. I know, unfortunately, there is one girls' team that didn't pick up a win this season. But I on the boys' side, I can't say for sure.
They still got another shot at it.
Yeah, they. You know, that's the thing. You hit the playoffs, everybody. Any time of the season, you know. Granted, during the playoffs, it's a little harder to pull off some of those upsets, but you never know.
Well, and you get like Tuesday night, or probably I believe Thursday night would be for the girls, due to just the way the bracket's set up. That the lower seed games, you know, you get a 6-11 or a 7-10 or whatever the case may be, matchup. I mean,
anything's possible there, for the most part.
So, with all that being said, I think we're going to go ahead and wrap up this week in Wisconsin Prep Hockey. Guys, playoffs should be fun. And to our listeners and everybody who helps us out, like Bill said, we can't be at every game. So any help we can get, we would sure appreciate it. So for Trasher, Burglar, Bill Jr., and Dell, I'm Mike Hammett. We'll see you next week on This Week in Wisconsin Prep Hockey.